Flying home yesterday on the airplane, I had an experience that was so affirming of all that we're looking at during these weeks to come. As I got on a plane, I noticed out in the foyer there in Munich, there was a young man in a wheelchair, struggling to breathe, overwhelmed by life, and a nurse was with him. And they happened to end up on the same row where across the aisle from me, so I could watch them. And I watched this nurse, and it's interesting because the nurse ministered grace in an amazing way to a dying young man under 30. And I watched, and every time his oxygen would have a problem, she would adjust it. And I watched her, she would get up. Every time he moved, she would get up. And as I was watching it, I thought, now this is a picture not of a lady just who has an assignment to be a nurse, but this is a picture of a lady ministering grace to a man at the most difficult time in his life. And as I watched that, I began to realize that His grace oftentimes comes to us at moments when we need it the very most. And when it comes in a way that captures our attention and allows us to see that God loves us and has a concern for our lives. Because here's what you discover about grace. It does change everything. It is the change agent that sets in motion an effective life. When a person misunderstands grace, they have a struggle. Why was Paul so caught up with grace? Because he'd spent his entire life caught up in legalism. His entire life he'd been centered in what happens when you legalistically do this or that. And when he encountered Christ, he changed him in such a way that grace became his entire story. And it's interesting because what you discover is that when you begin to understand it, Paul speaks here of a mystery in Ephesians chapter 1. If you have your Bible, turn there, because as you're turning there, here's the story of a guy who begins to talk about grace 12 different times as he encounters the subject of grace in the book of Ephesians. We see him bringing to light what grace can do. That's why when we quote 2:8-9, "For by grace you are saved, not of yourselves." It's by grace. And so Paul got a hold of this, and here's what you discover. If you get a hold of what grace can do, it changes how you live. But because all of a sudden, you begin to have a filter point that doesn't cause you to be a judge. It causes you to be someone who loves someone. It doesn't cause you to be overwhelmed by rules and instead sets you free to experience the amazing power of God's Word. So today, as you think about your own journey of faith, you have to think back. Were there moments when you had a legalistic perspective about certain things, and then grace set you free? I can remember so vividly as a kid growing up, I was taught certain things that were not really biblical, but they were a part of the upbringing that came into my being when I was at times at church, and I kept thinking, man, there's got to be more to it than that. And what you discover is this: every one of us live through certain things that speak to our hearts and lives. And here's what Paul does as he begins to write in Ephesians. What I want you to see today is this. As we begin to dig into grace, you're going to discover the best life on earth is a life that's filled with grace. The best life on earth is that you encounter Him the way He intended. And if you're not careful, you'll find yourself being overwhelmed by it, because grace is so overwhelming because its change agent is connected to your heart. So all of a sudden, His grace gets a hold of your heart, and you go, wow, I feel so powerful, so moved, so connected to what it is He has for me. And so today, as you think about your own journey, you think about your own faith journey, think about what grace can do, because grace can take you beyond any place you've ever been before, because it is His supernatural enabling inside of you. When He comes into your life as your Savior, the thing that He does for you is He gives you an encounter with grace that can set you in motion to experience the most profound and wonderful things that you can imagine. And this week, I had one of those kind of weeks, and I'll tell you a little bit about that as we look inside of this text, because I want you to see what Paul says. Look at it with me, if you would, beginning in verse 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. And notice what he starts out by saying, grace to you. A common greeting, by the way, in biblical time. A grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him in love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ Himself. And watch this phrase. According to the kind intention of His will. Note that phrase. to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. Look at that verse again. To the praise of the glory of His grace, which He gave to it. Verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according, watch this, to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, He made known to us the mystery of His will, according, watch this, to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of all time. That is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heaven, things on the earth. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of His glory. Now, when you read that, you realize here is Paul, and he begins to throw into the mix of what he's writing to. By the way, he's writing to an affluent church that obviously had lots of education, they had lots of giftedness, they had lots of skills, and yet the reality is that the church at Ephesus needed to learn what kind of battles they would face spiritually, needed to learn what kind of equipping they needed personally, they needed to learn what grace could do, they needed to learn how to live life in an effective way, and so as a result, he writes this particular letter. He writes with an intent to make sure that people get a hold of this whole idea that he has this kind intention. And don't you love that thought when you think about how God loves you? It was His kind intention to show you how much He loves you. And the way He did that was to give you a relationship and an understanding of who Christ is, what He can do, how He can work in your life. And so as a result of this particular text, we begin to realize something. What Paul begins to address are the consequential aspects of life. And here's what I want you to think about. This is the concept that I want you to get a hold of as you see how life works. Because watch this. There are some things that are consequential. And His grace is absolutely consequential. And so here's what you discover. The consequential aspects of life are key to the development of our life in Him. In other words, when we become His children and we start seeing, you know what, God can use that circumstance. He can use that situation. He can use those issues to consequentially connect me into what it is He wants to do. And here's what you discover. When grace gets a hold of you, you start operating with such an awareness that circumstances, situations coming at you are not there to get the best of you. They're there to inspire you to be the best. And there's a big difference, because when I see something as consequential, when I realize that anybody walking into this building is coming not by chance, not by happenstance, but instead they're coming because God's at work in them. And it's God's opportunity for us to be able to say to them that you may have something going on in your life. It may seem challenging, but it could have a consequence. It could do something in you. And I want you to imagine for today, as you think about your own life, what would happen if all of a sudden you looked at all of your issues and you go, you know, wait a minute now. Maybe He's trying to connect that problem to an awareness of what His purpose is. Maybe He's trying to help me see something that He wants to do inside of me. And today, as you think about that, you begin to ask yourself the question, how does grace impact us? In other words, what does grace do that absolutely is essential for our journey of faith? Because listen carefully, if I don't understand grace, I'm never going to understand God. Because as I understand grace, I begin to see something. I begin to see how God works. Because when you come into grace, what's remarkable about it, what's remarkable about grace and what really stands out is that it can do certain things inside of us that changes our lives forever. Think about it for a moment. You think about it, He talks about grace here. What can it do? How can it work? The first thing that it can do is it can open our hearts. I mean, it can open our hearts to real life, not just something that someone talks about by way of religion. It opens our hearts and helps us see, you know, wow, I can encounter life the way God intended, and something begins to happen inside of me as a result of that. As I mentioned to you, this past week I was with 180 children and orphans in another land, and it's very interesting because one of the things we talked about is what happens when you open your heart up. And I told them, the truth is, if you don't open your heart up, you'll never be able to understand what God is saying to you. A little boy walks up to me and he said, can I talk to you? I said, sure. And he said, I feel something very warm in my heart. I've never felt it before. And he looked at me and said, could it be Jesus speaking to me? I mean, think about the power of those words. Could it be Jesus? How could I find Him? He's who I need the most. And you see what you discover is, you start opening your heart up, I'm telling you, to the real things in life that you want to experience, I'm telling you, God will begin to work in your life. But the second thing it does is that all of a sudden when grace becomes the remarkable part of your story, it frees us from bondage. Because we all find ourselves bound up at times with stuff. Something that gets in our way that causes us to end up missing the best that God has for it. This week, Monday evening, I arrived in Romania. On Tuesday morning, there was a gentleman there, high-ranking official in the government of Romania. He was there with his wife. They were vacationing in that area, and one of the leaders invited him over to one session of what we were doing. And this is a guy who's very, very high up, but was bound up by legalism, and had no idea of how to find God. And so began to interact with him, and I said, you know what you ought to do? You ought to listen carefully and see if God doesn't have something for you. He may set you free. Well, that kind of caught his attention. I said, well, maybe that's true. Maybe I could experience that. Well, on Wednesday, he gave his heart to Christ. And amen, and it was an amazing, amazing moment. But here's a guy, watch this. He looked at me on Friday. He asked me, he said, would you please make sure that when you leave the country, I could come say goodbye to you? And I said, sure, you meet me at the airport, and I'll be happy to talk to you. And it's interesting because he had found himself bound up in an emptiness. And watch this, religion always empties up who you are. It empties you up. And he was so empty because he looked at me and said, I don't think I have any reason to live. And when Jesus came into his heart, every burden of his life lifted up. You should have seen. I mean, he and his wife have been married 30-plus years. The first time I met them on Tuesday after the first session, she sat and cried the whole time. She didn't have any idea which way to turn. And here's what you want to discover. I want you to discover this. When you let grace get a hold of you, everything that's bound you up gets set free. It just changes everything about who you are. And you and I need to think about that because when it opens us up, something begins to happen. So first of all, we open our hearts, we get to experience real life. Secondly, it conquers all the bondage that comes at us. But the third thing is very powerful because it captivates our focus and our spiritual direction. In other words, all of a sudden, it grabs hold of us. And I'm going to tell you what I've discovered. When His grace becomes everything, all of a sudden you start looking through a different lens. You see people in a different perspective. And you start thinking about, hey, how could I be captivated? And I'm going to tell you what you discover. If you're not captivated by grace, what do? You end up only doing religious activity. Go to church because you're supposed to. Pray because you're supposed to. Take the time to do what you're supposed to do. You give because you're supposed to. And all of a sudden, grace gets hold of you. Wait a minute now. I want to experience what God has for me. I want to have that kind of life-changing encounter. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. All of us have dynamics and circumstances and situations that we face in life. But when you allow His grace to get a hold of you, it captivates you and something happens inside of you. It's done for me just studying this entire series. Because flying back on a plane, I was sitting on a plane, I'm studying the book of Ephesians, okay? I'm studying the book of Ephesians and I'm watching a nurse minister grace to a dying young man. And I'm sitting there thinking, how appropriate that I'm reminded that this guy who's facing such dire circumstances has had someone placed in his life that tries the best to move him forward and encourage him. Here's what I want you to imagine. You're sitting here and all of a sudden you start thinking, wait a minute now. You mean grace has that kind of power? That grace could set you free? And I'm going to let you think about this for a moment. Do you grasp the power of grace? Because when you grasp it, I'm telling you, it'll happen. It will cause you to look at life in such a different way. It will cause you to go, you know, wait a minute, that's who I want to be, a person filled with grace. So let's think about Paul for a moment. And let's open our Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, just for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And as you're turning there, just watch what Paul says, because he summarizes something related to grace that you and I don't want to miss. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And look at verse 10. You just got to turn back. It's a few pages from where you are to the left. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Say amen if you're there. Amen. Amen. Say amen if you want to live by grace. Amen. Say amen if you love me. Amen. See, I just thought I'd check out all your grace, all right? So if you can give grace to everything else, you ought to give grace to me. All right, look on. Chapter 15, verse 10. Notice what it said. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. You ought to underline that. And His grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Don't you love that phrase? I am what I am. I mean, what a great thought today. Think about this. You are just who God made you to be. You just have to be willing to go, you know what? That's the kind of grace I want to encounter. That's what I want to experience. I want to encounter that same thing. And let me tell you what the grace of God can do. It can get a hold of us and cause us to accomplish so much more. Because he makes a statement here that everything I've done, I've labored more than any of them, yet not I, but the grace of God in me. And here's what it said. You can get anything done we choose to if we focus our hearts on his grace. Because his grace inspires us to become effective men, effective women. Look at one other verse, though, before we dig into this passage. In fact, look back to Ephesians. Go, won't you look at verse 9 just for a moment. Because in Ephesians chapter 1, he makes this statement. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention which he purposed in him. Now, what is a mystery all about? It's all about intrigue, isn't it? Something that intrigues you, and you're caught up by it, and it does something inside of you because all of a sudden you go, wait a minute, I need to understand it. Now, look on over chapter 3 of Ephesians just for a second. And notice because he begins to write about this whole idea. Chapter 3, verse 3. That by revelation there will be made known to me the mystery as I wrote before in brief. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. Verse 9. And to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things. Now, here's what I want you to get a hold of and grab this for a minute. The intriguing part of this particular study we're involved in is when you see the mystery of his grace grab hold of you, something begins to happen inside of your thought process because you begin to go, wait a minute now, I want to experience his grace the way he intended. And what Paul writes here is that God began to show me something. He began to show me, and it got me more intrigued. I was intrigued by what I saw, and I got more intrigued. I'm going to tell you, that's what your journey in faith should be like. It should get a hold of you and intrigue you. It should make you be aware of what it is he wants to do. And you see, when you and I become aware of his grace, here's what happened. We look through a different lens at life. We look at every person as precious. We look at every person as knowing that God has a plan for their life. We look at every person being aware that God could do something in them. And let me tell you what grace does. Grace shows you what forgiveness can do inside any person. Because let me tell you what grace does. Grace opens us up to understand what Christ had done for us because he forgave our sin and his grace came into our life and we became children of God. That is what's powerful about what we're looking at during this week. So or these weeks we're together. So you're sitting here in church and you're thinking, okay, wait a minute now. All right, he has a kind intention. Watch this. He has a kind intention for my life, but he wants to show it to me by a mystery. And he wants me to understand and be intrigued by it. And you got to realize the people at Ephesus, they were not ignorant people. They were brilliant, smart people. And they were intrigued by an awareness that, you know what? Something amazing is happening. Something amazing. Just a few weeks ago, my wife sent me an article that basically what it was about was that we have set aside teaching moral values in the hearts and lives of children. And it was a study in which they'd done, in which they asked certain questions, you know, if your friend did the wrong thing, would you tell anyone, et cetera, et cetera. And as I read the study, I read it again on a plane coming home, I sat there thinking, you know, the truth of the matter is that when you and I understand what his grace can do, our moral compass is completely set at north, knowing exactly what's right and what's wrong. And it doesn't matter what anybody says in any direction, our compass is straight. And what I want you to think about today is what happens if you and I see the mystery that God has for us, the intrigue of what he wants to say to us, and we say, you know what, I want to live that out in a way that matters the most. So today, I want to just show you very, very, very quickly what happens as he writes here, because there's something that he does in these first 12 verses, because what he shows is if you position yourself in the right place and you understand the purpose God has for your life, then you will find yourself with the right priorities, all right? So think about that just for a moment. In our right position, we discover his purpose, and as his purpose is revealed to us, something begins to happen in our way of life, and we go, wait a minute now. Now my priority is Christ. My priority is the grace of God at work in my life. My priority is becoming who he wants me to be. And watch this. You can never become who he wants you to be unless you understand grace. Because if you think you can go through a seminar and it's going to change your world completely and grace is not a part of the seminar, you're going to miss the complete point that God has for you. And that's exactly why he writes the way he does. So there's a discovery path. All right? In other words, there is a pathway that God wants to put us all on, and we start walking, and we start moving towards that. And that pathway, for example, this week, led five children and two adults to a saving relationship with Christ. They got on the right path while I was away. And every one of them privately confessing in their heart. And it's interesting, by the way, of the five children, now think about how Jesus works, okay? Of the five children who gave their heart to Christ, all of them said the same thing to me in different ways without exception. And they all said, watch this, I felt something warm in my heart and I'd never felt it before. Let me tell you, that's what Jesus does. That's what His grace does. That's why you and I need to be aware that as He works in our life, He wants to do something inside of it. So I want to show you, as you look at this, get a hold of it in your mind and thought. And what I want you to think about throughout this week is, what could I do to help understand grace more in my life? How could I extend more grace? And I'm talking about the grace that comes from God. And what you discover is, as you begin to do that, He'll work in your life in amazing and powerful ways. So let's get on this pathway. Look, if you would, at verse 6. He makes a statement at the end of verse 5, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. So what does He talk about here? He talks about the praise of the glory of His grace. Now look at that phrase, because what glory is all about is to elevate true impact. Now I don't know if you've watched many Olympic events during these weeks, but if you watch that girl named Ledecky swim, if you watch her swim, you go, this girl can't hit it. You watch the young lady in gymnastics smear everybody else completely. An amazing story, an amazing story of adoption and blessing. And you read it and you go, wow. Well, and here's what happened. And when you look at what Paul was trying to say, here are places where you glory and elevate what is a true impact. What's true impact? And it's interesting, because several of the athletes who are premier in their sport are humbled in grace before God. And they give testimony, acknowledging what God has done in them. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. The best you can be is connected to you surrendering who you are in Him and elevating all that comes to you to glorify Him. You see what Paul was saying was, you can't find what it means to glorify Him unless you humble yourself and say, Lord, I want to see what it is only You can do. And when I see all this that Paul started working on here, he says that God has this kind intention. And I want you to think about this. Think about what happened in Philippians chapter 2 when he said these words, for it is God who is work in you, who's at work in you, for it's God who's at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. So on the discovery path, here's what I want you to see. God has this great intent that's very good to get you in the right place. And here's what He wants to do. He wants to position you where you can have an effective life. He wants to position you where you can experience what it is that God intended. So here's what you ought to evaluate in your own mind and heart. Am I in the place where God wants me to be as far as my spiritual journey, as far as my awareness of His presence, as far as my pursuit of Him and His Word, as far as my desire to hear Him speak? And what you discover is what Paul says in verse 6 there, it all comes back to the praise of the glory of His grace. But he doesn't stop there. So first of all, you get in the right position. But then the second thing you do, look at it with me if you would, look at verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, and don't miss that, because just in a few weeks we have communion coming up, and I'm going to link us back into understanding that our communion moments are all connected to us in awareness, our awareness that the blood was shed so that we can encounter the grace of God. That's why we sing Amazing Grace. That's why we let that be a part of our story. Look on though. Through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. The riches of His grace. In other words, all of a sudden, He begins to talk about what makes us rich. And if you want to be wise in studying during this series in which we're together, you ought to go through the book of Ephesians and circle every time you see the word grace, and circle every time you see the word riches, because what you're going to discover is He was speaking to something very specific. And the riches He's talking about is the abundance that's connected to the forgiveness we experience. In other words, when we all of a sudden encounter what it means to be rich in Him, it's all about this abundance. In other words, aren't you grateful He forgives everything, not just something? While I was gone in 2010, March 6, 2010, I preached in a in a poverty-stricken part of Romania to the poorest of poor. But at that service, there was a young man who was the leader of the gang in that community who had done so many things wrong. But the grace of God grabbed him on that day and changed his life forever. Well, I got to see him this week. He was there helping me with camp. And one of the cool things about him, he is very muscular. And so I bring him there for other kids who think they are. So they'll be aware that if you misbehave, Alex will talk to you. And I remind him of that because I have Alex right there near me at times. And so Alex is an amazing story of the grace of God because he had to understand that God forgave everything he did. And I was telling Cindy about an encounter I had with him this week because we were talking, and he said, "You just don't understand at times how many bad things I did." And I'm so thankful I was studying the book of Ephesians, because I'm going to tell you what you discover. When you get rich in his grace, you are forgiven for anything you've ever done, thought, or experienced. And by the time I got down, I said, "You know what you need to do? You need to let your past be positioned in the right place so that you can experience what God has for you, because he has a purpose for your life." And here's what you discover. If you look backwards trying to figure out how to make your life make sense out of your life, you're missing what the cross is about. Because what Christ did for us is to cause us to go, "You know what? I don't have to let these circumstances, these situations get the best of me." So think about this for a moment. All of a sudden, you're sitting in church, you go, "Wait a minute now. So I've got to have my own life. I've got to be in the right position, but I've got to also discover what my purpose is." And what he says here in verse 7 is that we have the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. And listen to what Romans 5 said. Romans 5, 5:20. "The law came in so that the transgression would increase." Watch this. "But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more." Isn't that a great thought? That what happens is, when we sometimes allow our focus to zero in on some rule or regulation, we miss the power of the abundance of forgiveness. I don't know if you're like me, but I thank God he's forgiven me for everything. Don't you? I mean, wouldn't you hate it that if you woke up every morning and said, "Well, I got 3 more things that I'm not forgiven for yet. Got 5 more things not forgiven for." I want you to think about what would happen. You would all of a sudden find yourself overwhelmed. And it's interesting because Alex, sitting there in my room, I said, "Alex, you must let the joy of the Lord rest on your heart, because the peace of God will come your way and you will understand that you're completely forgiven." And all of a sudden, it's like a light went off in his head. And you got to realize we're working through translators, so it's not always as easy to communicate. But all of a sudden, you could see. And he wrote me when I got back home last night. And it's interesting because he wrote about the peace of God. And what I want you to see today is this. When you get in the right position, when you get where God wants you to be, and you start saying, "Lord, what is your purpose for me? Not in my vocation." Listen carefully. Paul does not address vocation here. He talks about grace being a part of our story, because it's our whole story. It's not a part of anything other than God's grace working in us. And so all of a sudden Paul says, "You know what? The riches of his grace." And I tell you, when you start finding out what this idea of being rich is all about, and we're going to look at this later on because he comes back to this concept, as I said to you 5 different times. As we look at what it means to be rich, I'll show you something in a few weeks that will cause you to go, "You know what? I'm wealthier than most people have ever been born, because I have encountered the grace of God." A third thing I want to show you, though, look on if you would, verse 12. "To the end that we who were first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory." And he uses this phrase, "first to hope." First to hope. And what he's talking about here is there is a priority. There is a priority regarding what we hope in. In other words, if someone, by the way, you see this every day. If you go into QT or racetrack anywhere, you see people, they buy 1 Coke and 5 lottery tickets. Or they buy, you know, one small donut and they buy 7 tickets. And you're sitting there going, "You're hoping the wrong thing. You'd be better off keeping that money and having 3 cups of milk instead of 1. But people hope in the wrong thing. And what Paul tries to say here is, listen carefully, to the end, and the key here, because in verse 11 he talks about that he predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. And we can talk some about that during the weeks to come. What does it mean to get inside in the middle of his kind intention for his will? But he says here, the first to hope in Christ. And what's he talking about here? He's talking about the priority of a unique encounter with Jesus. He's talking about what happens when Jesus gets a hold of us and changes everything about who we are. Now, think about it for a second. You're sitting in church, you start thinking, wait a minute now. I've got to be in the right place, got the right position. I've got to understand his purpose for my life. I've got to have the right priority. Because when I do that, all of a sudden Romans 10:17 comes alive. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And what do you do there? All of a sudden you go, wait a minute now. So if I'm in church today, all of a sudden it hits me. It hits me like a ton of bricks. I've got to be in the right place. I got to position myself. And I'll tell you what you discover. When you position yourself in the right place, you'll forgive people for things they've done wrong to you. You'll forgive people if they say the wrong thing. And I had numerous encounters traveling abroad. Sometimes you have unique encounters. I had a disastrous encounter while I was in Munich on the way through. And I had no idea that the computers for all of Delta were shut down. I just know Delta wasn't taking care of me like they're supposed to on that side. And when I came out of the lobby, there was this mass of people. And I thought, can you imagine? I was standing there thinking, can you imagine how frustrated they are? The one thing they want to do is get home, and they can't. They can't. And I want to tell you what you discover. If you don't encounter his grace, you can't get home. You can't get home. Because I'm going to show you discover, there's a power failure in religion. There's a power failure in rules. There's a power failure in systems that do not operate according to grace. And today I want you to think about this as we launch into this entire study. Do you understand the mystery? Do you understand it? Because I'm going to tell you what you discover. If you understand the mystery, if you want to be a part of it, you would connect yourself into the church. Because I'm going to tell you what you discover. When you look at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, he says this statement, now to him who is able to do more than you ever ask or think, according to Christ Jesus, through the church. So what you discover is he has the most integral position for the church of any entity, because the church is the bride of Christ. So if you're here today and you never connected into who we are and you want to make that step, become a part of the family, here's what you're doing. You're living out Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, because more than you ever ask or think, you're going to experience what God intended. Let God speak to you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your amazing word. Grabs hold of our lives, takes us in places we never dreamed possible. Lord, thank you for the privilege of being able to be in your house on this day. Thank you that your word grabs hold of us. And everyone in this room, Lord, needs to know what their position is. They need to know what their purpose is, because it is to your praise and glory. They need to know what the priority of life is. And so, Lord, if there's someone here who realize they've been visiting, this is a place to call home, they want to commit themselves to what you're about, they want to understand how the grace of God can work in their life, I pray you speak to the heart, allow them to move and experience what you intend. I thank you, Lord, also for what it is you want to do in all of our lives as we study grace during these weeks to come. Because what we discover is what changed a legalistic guy who watched Stephen get murdered was the grace of God. It changed Paul forever. And may we understand, it's by grace we are saved. Bless us as we respond to you. Thank you for the privilege of being able to look inside your word, speak to us, move in our hearts, move in our church. There's someone here who's been bound up by legalism. Their bondage is great. And all of a sudden they realize, you know what, I can be set free. There very well could be several in this room that need to say, you know what, I want to join this church today, Lord. And if that's the case, Lord, speak to them. We trust you, Lord, to continue to bless our church in an amazing way. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.